Good morning. Our Bible lesson today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a, 22 through 32. It can be found on your in your pew Bible on page 111, and in the large print Bible, it'd be on page 144 of the New Testament. And this is Peter addressing the crowds at Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up because it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that, all of us are witnesses. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now if you will turn in your hymnal to page 748, the responsive reading of Psalm 16. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a glorious heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure, for you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your godly ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Can be found on page 218 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 281 if you're using the large print edition. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And that is in your pew Bible on page 108 in the New Testament and in the large print edition in the New Testament on page 141. As I mentioned earlier, this reading is right on the heels of Mary Magdalene going back to the disciples and saying, "I've seen the Lord." So it is the same day. When it was the evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, several months ago when I was committing the titles of sermons, I decided to call this sermon Overcoming Doubt. But this week, I realized that that title's wrong. Maybe instead, the sermon title should have been Accepting Doubt or Affirming Doubt or maybe even Celebrating Doubt. I'm just not sure that overcoming doubt would be what Jesus would have in mind, given his behavior in this reading. The story from John is a familiar one to many of us, so familiar that we may find ourselves using the common expression, doubting Thomas, without giving it much thought. We think of Thomas's behavior as somehow lacking in faith, perhaps even as something negative. And we often concentrate on that final statement when Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." When you look closely at Jesus' behavior, you may well experience a different response. Now think about it. In both cases, when Jesus appears beyond the locked doors to his closest followers, first on that same Easter Sunday and then one full week later, his first words are, "Peace be with you." Now think about what just happened with his disciples. Jesus doesn't berate his followers for denying him or for fleeing from his arrest and torture. Not at all. He quiets their fears at seeing him alive right in front of them. And he offers them proof that he is, in fact, the crucified and resurrected Son of God. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. When the then absent Thomas hears this incredible story from his brothers, he won't believe it. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." But honestly now, does that response surprise you? Would you have reacted any differently than Thomas? Think about Jesus' response to Thomas when Jesus came that second time to be with him. Although the doors were locked, again Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." But then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Now Jesus once again allayed their fears, and he immediately offered Thomas the proof that he so desperately required. Scripture doesn't tell us that Thomas did indeed touch the crucified and resurrected Jesus, and I don't think he did. I don't think Thomas needed to touch Jesus. He cried out, "My Lord and my God," a statement described as the strongest confession of the divinity of Jesus found anywhere in the New Testament. I would suggest to you that our God, in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, isn't at all concerned when you express doubt about your faith, about life, about the Bible, or about any points of theology. He's not concerned at all. Doubt is not a bad thing, but rather an inevitable and valuable part of human nature. We question what we do not understand, and God knows that. The Bible is full of God's people asking the really hard questions about life and about faith and about God. If you don't believe me, take a walk through the Psalms. God is certainly much bigger than your doubt. God can surely withstand and accept even your toughest questions. Doubt or unbelief or questions are valuable when they cause you to seek out the answers using all of the gifts that God has given you. John Wesley described what we have come to call the Wesleyan quadrilateral. And whenever I say this, Jane rolls her eyes. When Wesley encountered something he couldn't figure out, he first and foremost turned to Scripture. And then he turned to tradition, to human reason, and to the experience. Well, maybe for you, your first step ought to be to join us in our Bible study group if you have questions to ask, because we're all trying to figure it out. To be a doubting Thomas is not a bad thing. It means rather that you have the courage to ask the tough questions, to seek the answers, and to strengthen your faith, that faith that God has given you, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name. And surely that pleases God. From 1 Peter, let me remind you of these words. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.